It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Here they are, one strike away, one out away. 3-2. Yeah! Here it is! The Washington Nationals are world champions for the first time in franchise history.
And a World Series Game 7 winning Curly W is in the books. The celebration is on. The Washington Nationals are the world champions. Remember where you are. So you remember where you are right now at 11:50 Eastern Time. Remember where you are on October 30th, 2019, when the Washington Nationals finished the fight. From the depths of a forgettable 19-31 start, they have climbed to the top of baseball's highest peak, giving us all a finish to a season we will remember for the rest of our lives. The Nationals celebrate just behind the pitcher's mound. A world championship, Curly W, is in the books. The Nationals down 2-0, 6 unanswered runs. They beat the Astros 6-2. They are the world champions of baseball. Unbelievable.
You think that announcer had a skin in the game? I think he was happy. What do you think? I don't think he was a Houston Astros fan. Anyway, he was really excited, and so were the people of Washington, D.C., about that win last night by the Washington Nationals, the first win since 1924. They sound like the Chicago Cubs. Anyway, the first win since 1924, and heaven knows the District of Columbia needs something to cheer it up, so it's kind of nice to see them cheering. You know, it's a very strange city, Washington, D.C., because people don't feel that cohesiveness. Well, for instance, I'm from Chicago, and there's a cohesiveness there. We're proud of our city. I know all the bad things about it, but trust me, it's a great city. It's a beautiful city. And people are, you know, there's a history and a certain amount of pride, kind of probably like people from Texas and Dallas. I have a different kind of pride, but D.C., not so much. It's pride. They have plenty of pride, but it's pride generally in their themselves. They're funny. I heard on Vox and Friends this morning, I think one of the guys said it'll be hard because they're having a big parade in D.C. and everyone will want VIP seating because they all think they're important. And I can tell you that is actually true. Well, anyway, so last night the Nationals won, and hopefully it will maybe lighten the hearts. And you know, there's so much attention in D.C. I would like to see that crack a little bit, where people who are driving around are not waving their fists at each other and constantly in anger at each other on elevators. You know, the resist movement, you know what that's like, and you have some of that in your family. Can you imagine living with that every day? Well, that's kind of the way it is in D.C. So some sort of laughter and smiles from the residents of Washington and D.C., Washington, D.C. would be a very good thing. It's not hard to remember that just a few days ago, fans in that crowd in Washington, D.C. were chanting to the president just a few hours after he had overseen the kill of Baghdadi and had announced it on the air and went to the game without fanfare with his wife, Melania, that the crowd started chanting, lock him up. Now, I still contend that wasn't a huge group because I saw one of the videos and it looked like a certain area of the ballpark. Nevertheless, there are a lot of people in D.C. who feel that way. The president, in spite of that, tweeted out his congratulations to the Washington Nationals on a great season and an incredible World Series. Game 7 was amazing. And so that's what happened last night. And anything further than that on baseball, you don't want me to say because I am so bad at sports. I told my husband before I went on this morning, he said, you should just do all day on the World Series. And I said, I couldn't possibly. After I stopped describing their outfits, I wouldn't have anything else to say. So you see where this is. So anyway, that's enough. You know that they won, and that was a good thing. President Trump just can't get a break. He can't from national media and the left, and it's working. Many people are completely falling for things that are said, even on comedy programs like Jimmy Kimmel just a few nights ago. Let's listen.
Had killed the leader of ISIS, the world's most wanted terrorist, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, is Baghdadi now, and they got him during a raid in Syria. Now, President Trump was reportedly golfing when they went in. The raid started at 3:30 p.m. According to his schedule, Trump was playing golf at his course in Northern Virginia Saturday until a little after 3. Didn't make it back to the White House until 4:18. But here's my bet on that. And I don't know, but there's no way the military told him what day this raid was happening, right? Because he immediately would have tweeted, "Guess what's going on?"
The Trump administration is demanding an apology or a correction from Jimmy Kimmel because, of course, the president wasn't out playing golf during this raid. He was fully engaged in that. And that rumor started by from Pete Souza, who was the former chief official White House photographer for President Barack Obama, who's the one who started the rumor that the president wasn't in the room. It is ironic because many have said, and I believe it's probably true, because we saw the Situation Room at the time of the killing of bin Laden, and we saw President Obama without even a chair. He was on the floor on his knees, like in a jacket and a golf outfit. And so many people have speculated he wasn't. Other people were in the seats, the key seats around the room watching, including Hillary Clinton. President Obama, it looked as though, had just come into the room and was squatting down next to someone. So we actually think that he's the one who wasn't present. And was, you know, out playing when bin Laden was actually captured. And then, of course, he preened and took credit. I think in this case, the record shows even the Washington Post, before Jimmy Kimmel even made a statement, had printed the president's itinerary on that day. And it was just false, just absolutely false. But and yet people will believe that. And that's why people, you know, will shout lock him up, because they really don't understand who this man is. And they don't have any idea. I told you yesterday he just donated his salary again. He donates his salary every single time he gets paid to some cause in Washington, D.C., to one of the agencies. So there you go. So, all right, today is, well, it's Halloween. And the New York Post had their cover today is Haunted House. And they're talking about the impeachment of the president on Halloween, of all days. It's not an impeachment. It is they hurry to tell us it's not an impeachment. It's a vote to establish an official inquiry, which is what they say they have been doing behind closed doors with one-sided testimony. Mike Emanuel has a little bit of an outline of it. He gave it last night on Fox Special Report. Let's listen.
Late today, three new deposition notices were sent. The biggest name, former National Security Advisor John Bolton, asked to appear 1 week from tomorrow. And National Security Council attorneys John Eisenberg and Michael Ellis on Monday. The news adds to the tension already building, with much of the heat focused on the Democrat leading the impeachment probe.
Adam Schiff has proven in this process that he cannot adhere to the fundamental principles of fairness.
Today, House Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff led two depositions of State Department officials. Catherine Croft told lawmakers in her opening statement that former congressman turned lobbyist Bob Livingston was seeking to oust the then U.S. ambassador to Ukraine. Quote, he characterized Ambassador Yovanovitch as an Obama holdover and associated with George Soros. It was not clear to me at the time or now at whose direction or at whose expense Mr. Livingston was seeking the removal of Ambassador Yovanovitch. This afternoon, State Department official Christopher Anderson told lawmakers then National Security Advisor John Bolton was concerned about the impact of President Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani. Quote, he cautioned that Mr. Giuliani was a key voice with the president on Ukraine, which could be an obstacle to increased White House engagement. The House is expected to vote tomorrow on a resolution to outline next steps for a more public phase, including open hearings and giving White House attorneys access.
All right, that's the first part of this report. Let me just say that the rules that they're setting up in this seven-page piece laying out the details of how they want to proceed with this inquiry are still terribly unfair. In fact, Mike said there would be open hearings. They've allowed for one open hearing, one open hearing, and Adam Schiff has to clear any witnesses called by the Republicans. He has to approve of them. And what's happening now, as you, the hearings are still going to take place behind closed doors. Nothing really has changed with these so-called rules. And that's why the Republicans are fighting back so hard. This just gives them sort of a veneer of legitimacy when there really is none. And so people are getting pretty upset about this. I have to say 40 different organizations have signed a letter filing an ethics complaint against Nancy Pelosi because of her behavior in this. It says, in part, in launching her official impeachment inquiry without benefit of a vote of the full House of Representatives and without indicating anything remotely qualifying as treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors that is the subject of this inquiry, Speaker Pelosi has weaponized impeachment. It also says, Speaker Pelosi's conduct is an encroachment across the constitutionally mandated separation of powers. She has no business examining or investigating the president's legitimate exercise of his authority to determine the foreign and national security policy of the United States. We'll put that letter on our Facebook page so that you can read it, but it's been signed by 40 conservative groups. And there is a real pushback, I have to tell you. There is an ethics war. Matt Gaetz has filed an ethics complaint against Adam Schiff for a number of reasons, among which is that parody he read on the House floor that was supposed to have been the call with President Trump and the president of Ukraine, where he did like a Saturday Night Live skit on it and made it sound as though it was the real transcript when it was completely fake. And so Matt Gaetz, bless his heart, has filed an ethics complaint against Adam Schiff. So don't think that people are not fighting, at least in the House. I would argue that in the Senate, they're not fighting. Mitch McConnell is disgraceful to me. I've said that before. I'll say it again. He acts as though he is. But he talks about, yeah, I have no choice, but if they vote on it, I have to take it up over here. It's really not true. He has a lot of choices. And you notice he's being silent. He's really not fighting back. And people are noticing this. He is coming up for election. And so he has done so much damage. It reminds me of another thing they're doing. I wasn't going to do this right now, but I'm going to jump to it. Ken Cuccinelli has been appointed by the president to be the acting director of Customs and Border Patrol. And I just see a report on what Customs and Border Patrol has been able to do in this calendar year, and it is amazing. And I don't have time to read all of it to you, but they keep working. They're apprehending drug traffickers. They are taking lots of illegal drugs, 650 pounds of illegal drugs that have been seized. The counterfeit currency, stopping sexual trafficking. They've been doing incredible things under the leadership of Ken Cuccinelli. So the president really wants him to be the head of Homeland Security. But he's been warned, and I think I told you this last week, that the rules won't allow him. The interagency rules say that he can't be the head of Homeland Security for various reasons, fill in the blanks, bureaucratic reasons. So now, though, we learn from Politico that it's Republicans who are shooting this down. No, I'll name names. Why not? Senator McConnell, which is the reason why I bled over to this. Senator McConnell has earlier said this year that he has a lack of enthusiasm for Ken Cuccinelli. John Cornyn from Texas is very upset. He says, basically, there's no I can't find his quote. But the reason they're so upset with as Shelley Moore Caputo, Roger Wicker from Mississippi, they're all speaking out against this. And the reason, you want to know the reason? Because Ken Cuccinelli ran Senate Conservatives Fund and got like a Mike Lee, a Marco Rubio, a Ted Cruz, a Josh Hawley. All those people were elected because of Senate Conservatives Fund. And, gee, they're icky conservatives that Mitch McConnell cannot control. And he does not hide his disdain. And therefore, Ken Cuccinelli must not, at any cost, be the head of the Department of Homeland Security. The president is still trying to get around this. I don't know if he's going to succeed, but that's the latest on that. Oh, I have so much to tell you, but I always do. Stay tuned. I have a really big story on the other side of the break. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
That changed my life just from that ultrasound picture. When it comes to choice, the Ministry of Preborn offers the ultimate life-saving choice by providing a free ultrasound. When an abortion-minded woman sees her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life.
I'm going to keep my baby, and I'm going to keep growing, and I'm going to be a great mom.
Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country, and their mission is to help save babies' lives and souls through love and compassion and the message of Jesus Christ. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance each day to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Mark Schneider, director of the Institute of Education Sciences. His office provides scientific evidence for use in policymaking and daily practice in our schools. Proverbs 19:2 reminds us of the importance of studying as a means of gaining knowledge. Desire without knowledge is not good, and whoever makes haste with his feet misses his way. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for wisdom for Mark Schneider as he acquires and provides data to help advance our country's education system. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Truett McConnell University is training students to love the Lord, love the Word, love the Church, and love the lost. Scripture is the foundation for everything they do. It's who they are, preparing students not just for a career, but to fulfill God's high calling on their lives. Truett McConnell University offers a wide array of bachelor's programs, some online, and they also have an outstanding Master of Arts in Theology. So if you'd like to schedule a visit to Truett's campus in the North Georgia Mountains, visit truett.edu. Public school students in Dearborn, Michigan will only be eating meat that is prepared according to Muslim traditions. Television station WXYZ reports the decision to only serve halal meat came from a student advisory board. The school district said their new menu has nothing to do with religion. But let's be honest, it has everything to do with religion. Public schools across the nation are cracking down on Christianity in the schoolhouse, all the while making room for prayer rugs in the classroom and Muslim meat in the Kaffa gymnasium. One irate mom told American Thinker the policy discriminates against non-Muslim students. She went on to say the schools have never changed lunches to accommodate other religious groups. Well, I guess that means no more pork chops or Jimmy Dean sausage at Dearborn High School. To read more about this story, check out ToddStarnes.com.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
You and Mr. Trump don't want anyone who looks or talks differently than Caucasian Americans to be allowed into this country.
That's false.
I'm sorry. Please don't interrupt me, and I'd like the time to add
it
back.
That's defamatory.
Excuse me. There's nothing defamatory about it. You have demonstrated that you will pursue this heinous white supremacist ideology at all costs.
After declaring that I am not a white supremacist, as you alluded.
You have had white supremacist
Nor is the
policy.
President.
Facts matter.
Yes, they do. Yes,
right.
They do. Truth.
Which is why
makers.
I'm stating them here today.
Yes, no,
please
you certainly are not. You're,
please
you're
answer the question. How many children?
Certainly cloaked in legislative
how many
privilege,
children
but that
may stop
means you can get away
reclaiming
with not
my
telling
time.
The truth.
Yeah, so that was an exchange between Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Ken Cuccinelli yesterday. You see how this goes. It's not just Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the Democrats after Ken Cuccinelli. You heard how he treated her. It's also the Republicans, and I just mentioned that, and I want to double down on it. This article in Politico we'll put on our Facebook page. It's Republicans shoot down White House plan to install Cuccinelli atop DHS. And it occurs to me that if you are so motivated, now there may be a – here's the thing. Today is the impeachment vote, and I think this is a good day to call the Capitol switchboard or call the local office of your congressman in the House and tell them if you think this is ill, you know how I feel about it. If you think this is a ridiculous process and that they have no grounds for impeaching the president of the United States, you should call your congressman. And it really doesn't matter if they're Republican or Democrat. We are probably going to lose some Republicans on this vote as well. Some of them are just incorrigible. That's the nicest word I can think of. And so you might want to thank, like if you're in Jim Jordan's in Jim Jordan's district, or Mark Meadows, or some of the other Freedom Caucus guys, Devin Nunes, you might want to just call and thank them. Just pick up the phone and tell them how grateful you are that they're fighting. Matt Gaetz and Louis Gohmert, there's so many I can't really mention them. They really are putting up a fight. But most, I'd say 60 of them, 60 or 70 in the House are putting up a fight. Republicans, the rest of them are, you know, lethargic, and they'll just see which way the wind blows. And so I'm sure we'll lose some who are Republicans on this vote. And they're going to lose some Democrats, too, because some of these Democrats were elected in really strong Trump districts. And so they're not going to vote for this resolution, whatever they're deeming to call it. Still, it would be a good thing to put people on notice, because if you don't call, they think you don't care. It's just amazing to me. It's just amazing to me how the body of Congress becomes so disconnected from its people. Same thing happening in Britain with Boris Johnson. The people want to leave. They voted to do that, to leave the EU. And yet the parliament is completely refusing, just making it as difficult as possible for the last few years. And that's kind of where we are. But we have elections still that are fair and free. I mean, I know there's some hanky-panky. Yes, there is. But we still can make a difference. We saw that when Donald Trump was elected in 2016. So now we need to bring that down to the Senate and the House. And so let me just say that if you're in Texas and Senator John Cornyn is your senator, he is your senator, this is what he said about Cuccinelli. The White House would be well advised to consult with the Senate and senators before they take any decisive action that might be embarrassing to Mr. Cuccinelli or to the White House itself. That's his warning. And then Majority Leader McConnell said he has a lack of enthusiasm for Cuccinelli and warned in April about nominating him to a permanent position. Shelley Moore Caputo says, we need somebody who knows the department really well, someone who understands the complexities. And, of course, he's only been in charge of Customs and Border Patrol for a short time, and they're doing an incredible job. So who else is not enthused? Senator Roger Wicker of Massachusetts. He said he has doubts that the Senate Republicans have an appetite to see Cuccinelli elevated. Mississippi, yeah, sorry. So if you are in those states, or even if, you know, you should probably let them know how you feel about that if you have an opinion. So that's the political article. We'll put it up on our Facebook page. Now I want to get to something. In regards to the impeachment vote, you remember that this Lieutenant Colonel Vitamin testified against the president behind closed doors this week. And we talked quite a bit about that. I told you he was born in Ukraine. And some people are saying that it was he should never have testified in his uniform. That was a breach of the military code of conduct because he is sworn to the Constitution to uphold his commander-in-chief. And part of his duty as a military officer is not to testify in another branch of government against his chief. But there's more to learn about that. Some were questioning his loyalty. His main objection, it wasn't that he said the president did, as far as we know. We only had his opening statement, which was leaked to the New York Times the night before. This is the pattern. The Democrats can see what these so-called witnesses are saying. They get it in advance. It's leaked to newspapers, just the opening statement. But the Republicans don't have that. And then all these hearings are behind closed doors, and Republicans are stopped when they're trying to ask questions. So it's pretty amazing. That's the process right now. So this Vindman, I spoke to you, that behind closed doors, as far as I understand from the Republicans, he was not able to make a case against the president for anything treasonable or impeachable. And his main point was that he didn't say this, I'm telling you, as a Ukrainian-born person, his concern was about Ukraine. He said when he heard the phone call, which he monitored, he was on it with many, many others. He was concerned when the president to ask about some investigations into CrowdStrike and then into Joe Biden and his son Hunter and the appointments that Hunter was getting and the millions of dollars he was making from Burisma. as a result of being the son of Joe Biden. He didn't say all those things, but I'm filling in the blanks. So Weidman was allegedly very concerned about that, but not for the reasons you think. He was concerned because he said he said in his testimony, in his opening statement that we do have, that he was concerned that Ukraine would actually cooperate, and then when the Democrats took over, that there would be punishment for Ukraine. They'd be cut off. There would be trouble. And so that is his concern. So others have said, well, who is he loyal to? Is he loyal to this country or is he loyal to Ukraine? And so with that little questioning of who he is and where he's from, this was the media response to that, doing dutifully their part in protecting and covering and legitimizing each of these people who are testifying. Let's listen.
A hero who has dedicated his entire life to the United States of America.
The lieutenant colonel, who's a patriot.
This is an American hero, cares about the country.
I've never met him, but he is a patriot.
Yeah, so they tell us he's a patriot. How dare we? They don't say that about Lieutenant General Flynn. They don't say that about Tulsi Gabbard. Tulsi Gabbard, they came after her with a vengeance, and she's a military person with a great record, running for president, who took on Hillary Clinton. See, you just can't be on the wrong side of things. You're a hero if you are, and you're not a hero if you aren't. So it's ludicrous. But I want to tell you something more about Weidman that I'm learning. He was on the National Security Council. It was in that position that he was able to listen to the call. He was one of four stenographers. And so he's claiming in his testimony, allegedly we're hearing, that the text that was printed was not actually what was said. And so we are expecting Adam Schiff to use his testimony. Probably the purpose of his testimony was to make that statement, because they want us to think that what we have as the public text of the call is not what was really said. That was much, much worse. Much, much worse. And Weidman knows it because he was there. The only problem is he was one of four stenographers on that call. One of four. And all of them in the process here has to agree to the content. So they all are, you know, taking down the phone call as they listen. And then they all four work together and they create a final transcript and agree together to that. That's what was said. I remember this part. I remember this part. They put it together and they submit it. What Weidman did was try to doctor the transcript to make it say what fits his agenda. And I've heard some say that he should be brought up on charges. He's no hero. And I want to point out one other thing. I can't go into the details of this, but some military persons with a lot of experience have been observing that Weidman's Wikipedia bio, the story about his life, is being altered. It's been altered in the last few days. Altered to talk about the timeline, his service, and all kinds of things that they're questioning. And again, I can't go into that right now. But let me just tell you that the eyes are upon him right now, and we'll see. The Republicans are allowed to ask him questions, it might get a little sticky, because they weren't allowed to behind closed doors with Adam Schiff. Adam Schiff, remember, interrupted the Republicans and wouldn't let them ask questions, and then was leading the witness. He's not only chairing the committee, but he's acting as the counsel for these witnesses. It really is an unbelievable situation. But here's the main story that I want to tell you today. I haven't even gotten to it yet. Here's the deal. I've been telling you about the whistleblower. I actually gave you his name, Eric Ciaramelli. And so today it's been confirmed publicly in Real Clear Politics. There's the whole story about him. I remember I played for you, remember Fred Flights, who's been on the show many times, said this in an interview just on CNN a few days ago. Everyone knows who he is. CNN knows, The Washington Post knows, The New York Times knows, Congress knows, the White House knows, even the president knows who he is. Fred says they're hiding him. They're hiding him because of his political bias. And I've told you a little bit about Eric, but now it's official since it's in writing. Someone's finally writing about this. Federal documents reveal that 33-year-old Ciaramelli, now remember, this is the guy that allegedly is the whistleblower. He's really a leaker. But he's a whistleblower, so he gets all the protections of whistleblowing, and Adam Schiff doesn't dare let you know who he is because the president might kill him. That's the narrative. The president knows who he is, and so I know who he is. I've told you. I've been telling you for the last week or so. So here's now what we know for sure. Federal documents reveal that the 33-year-old Chiramella, Chiramella, a registered Democrat held over from the Obama White House, previously worked for former Vice President Joe Biden and former CIA Director John Brennan. Now remember that this whistleblower, this high-minded, wonderful, patriotic whistleblower, claimed that the president on this phone call threatened to withhold aid if the president of Ukraine did not investigate his political rival, Joe Biden. Well, that isn't really true when you look at the transcript, but that's what he said, and that's, of course, true. The call itself can't be true, but what Eric Chiramella says about it, that must be true. So he previously worked with or for Vice President Joe Biden and CIA Director John Brennan, who we believe is the orchestrator of this Russian collusion story. Further, Chiramella left his National Security Council post in the White House's West Wing in mid-2017 amid concerns about negative leaks to the media. He has since returned to CIA headquarters in Langley. He was accused of working against Trump and leaking against Trump, said a former NSC official. Also, Chiramella huddled for guidance with the staff of House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff, including former colleagues also held over from the Obama era, whom Schiff's office had recently recruited from the NSC. All right, so it's not over. Chiramella worked with a Democratic National Committee operative who dug up dirt on the Trump campaign during the 2016 election, inviting her to the White House for meetings. Alexandra Chalupa is her name. She's a Ukrainian-American who supported Hillary Clinton and led an effort to link the Republican campaign to the Russian government. Now, remember, I just said Eric Chiramella, the quote-unquote whistleblower, worked with her, brought her into the White House while he was working for President Trump. This is the way it's been at the White House, I've told you. It's just been horrendous, the backbiting, the undermining, the backstabbing, the undermining of President Trump in every agency and in his own White House. And by the way, there's a 40-page research dossier on Chiramella. It's being circulated right now. It's classified, has more stuff in it than I'm giving you right now. So he also worked with Susan Rice, President Obama's national security advisor, and he worked very closely, of course, with Vice President Joe Biden. So, and Joe Biden is the victim here, according to Chiramella, but it's just not true. So I will put this on our Facebook page so that you can read and share it. This is a really important thing to read and share because this is why the president's they're trying to impeach him. It's this call, it's this narrative by Eric Chiramella that is the whole focus of this impeachment. This is the nut. This is the reason. This is the point upon which they've started this whole thing. So this is Real Clear Investigations, a report by Paul Sperry, and we will put it on our Facebook page. All right, so there is a lot more to be said about that, but I would like to open the phone lines today because I'm sure you have a lot of things to say about the impeachment. We can talk about anything, as always. Whatever you want to talk about, I'm game, as long as it's not small talk and flattery, okay? I think you know what I mean. I want to talk about substance. So our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. By the way, if I got this right, Devin Nunes has this great investigative staff. He's got two guys, Kesh Patel, who is an attorney who worked for Nunes and now is working at the White House. He was deeply involved in the recent events against ISIS. And then he has Derek Harvey, who is a retired colonel. He's worked directly for many generals, including Petraeus, General Flynn, McMaster, and is a real hero in his own right. And these guys are digging up all kinds of stuff, working really hard. So now what's happening? What do you think's happening to them? The left is going after both of them. There are three different articles, hit pieces, Politico, New York Times, and the Daily Beast, going after Kesh Patel and Derek Harvey, two of Devin Nunes' staffers who are real champions on digging up the truth on all of this stuff. So it is a war. It is a war, and it's not like we can be bystanders. I mean, it's possible to go about your daily life and not think about it, but at some point, if we don't fight back, you know, it's like those old movies of the Civil War where families didn't want to fight, and they resisted and resisted, and finally it became personal. And it's going to become personal to each of us because it is our country after all. All right, our phone number is 888-589-8840, Sandy Rios, in the morning on AFR Talk.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Ron Reagan, the son of President Reagan, aired an ad to drum up support for his atheist organization. In it, he mocked the eternal damnation that awaits all who reject Jesus Christ. In response, a friend of mine and fellow church member suggested that we pray that God would open Ron Reagan's eyes and save his soul. It's a good time for all of us to pray for the salvation of unsaved loved ones, friends, atheists, and agnostics all over the world, because heaven is real and hell is real too.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner, or visit the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Hey, I love that you're saying Merry Christmas, but what's Christmas all about?
Oh, man, it's about presents and family and love and...
Well, yeah, but it's really about Jesus. He came for you. Merry Christmas.
Thanks, man.
Wear and share the AFA Christmas button to remind people about Jesus. He came for you. Visit afastore.net to order in packs of 10. Order before December 12th to make sure you get your buttons before Christmas. That's afastore.net.
The foundation for a life with Christ is built on our private lives. So what does your life with Christ look like? Does it mirror Him? This week on Let My People Think, Ravi Zacharias challenges us to examine our lives publicly and privately.
Sundays at 7 p.m. Central.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Planned Parenthood gets the bulk of its government funding through Medicaid reimbursements, up to $400 million worth. Idaho has passed a law that if other states follow suit could turn off that spigot. Idaho's law specifies that every woman who receives Medicaid assistance must have a primary physician. A woman can still go to Planned Parenthood for family planning services such as contraception and exams, but only if her doctor gives her a referral. But why would he? He'd just be giving up income for services he can provide as a part of holistic care for his patients. This creates the delightful prospect that it may not be the government that largely defunds Planned Parenthood, but women exercising, wait for it, their freedom to choose. All that's necessary is approval from the Trump administration. Let's pray that that day comes soon.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Millions of Californians are today the proverbial canaries in the mineshaft. In large swaths of the state, they are suffering not only the destructive effects of wildfires, but the often acute challenge of living for protracted periods without electricity. Fortunately, today's blackouts are not comprehensive. People with medical conditions that would be fatal if untreated by therapies that require refrigeration or power for other purposes can flee to areas where the lights are still on. But the impacts, economic, physical, and societal, are nonetheless far-reaching, hugely disruptive, and costly. Much of such hardship, devastation, and dislocation arises from the fact that California's largest electric utility has long neglected steps needed to enhance the resiliency of its grid. The truth is, most Americans are similarly at risk, and we must take steps now to secure the grid nationwide. This is Frank Affney. Learn more at securethegrid.com.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
The letter also says that you would not commit to being fair to litigants before you, notably members of the LGBTQ community. Can you speak to that? Did you say that you wouldn't be fair to members of the LGBT community?
Senator, That was the part of the letter. I did not say that. I apologize.
It's all right.
Sorry. No, I did not say that. I do not believe that. It is a fundamental belief of mine that all people are created in the image of God. They should all be treated with dignity and respect. Senator.
Can you commit today to this committee that you will treat, if confirmed, that you would treat every litigant who came before you with respect and with dignity?
Absolutely, Senator. I would not have allowed myself to be nominated for this position if I did not think I could do that.
Including members of the LGBT community and any other community that has been historically disadvantaged in this country.
Absolutely, Senator.
That was Senator Josh Hawley in an interchange with Lawrence Van Dyke, who is an appointee by President Trump for the Ninth Circuit. The Ninth Circuit. Remember the Ninth Circuit Court, which is like the Ninth Circus? It's the one whose decisions have been overturned by the Supreme Court by an incredible percentage. I think I want to say 70% through the years because they're so radically left. That court is being transformed by President Trump, and now Lawrence Van Dyke is his latest nominee. But you heard that exchange, and you heard him actually cry. You didn't hear the lead up to that because there is a move to smear him, to destroy him, like you saw with Judge Kavanaugh. And now we're finding out, I can only tell you briefly, that the ABA, who gave him a terrible rating and sent a terrible letter after he has stellar qualifications, elsewise he would not have been nominated. We know now that the person that wrote that letter and did the interview was working for his opponent when he ran for judge the last time. And the Montana Justice Department official that the Democrats are quoting to lambast Van Dyke has doled out $28,200 to prominent Democratic candidates, including Obama, Clinton, John Tester, none to Republicans. He made the maximum donation to Obama in 2008 and had to have some of his money returned because he gave too much. These are the people that are coming after Lawrence Van Dyke. And so as a result of that, senators like Josh Hawley and Mike Lee and others now are calling for the ABA to be no longer have access to these candidates and stop giving them the authority and the power over these candidates. There's a move afoot, and we'll see what happens because the ABA, like other professional organizations, has become very far to the left and controlled by the left, and they're doing a tremendous amount of damage. And then as a footnote, I would add, that's Josh Hawley, Senator Josh Hawley, who's in his position, arguably because of the Senate Conservatives Fund led by Ken Cuccinelli. And, you know, we can't have senators like Josh Hawley, can we? And so that's what's happening at the Senate, just so you know, because we could still do something about this, you guys. We could still do something about it. That's why I repeat it all the time. Elections are coming up. You can do something about it. You're not helpless. Okay, to the phones we go. Let's go to Tom in Texas. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, good morning, and how are you? And it is
very
a
good.
Great program. But
thank you.
Is that called an ellipsis when you have the three dots in a sentence? I believe that's what it's called.
I think so,
That colonel that testified said that there were ellipses in the transcript, and that's where the quid pro quos came in, that they were kind of cut out. And I'm just wondering if this is the equivalent of Richard Nixon's 10 seconds of blank tape.
I don't think so, because the reason I say that is because, as we understand it, it was Nixon's secretary who did that. She's the one that blocked that out in those tapes. In this case, you've got four stenographers. You've got four different people listening to the call. So they would have to all agree, we're going to block out those bad parts, the president said. And that's heard it's not just four listening, it's a ton of other people listening. So it's not very likely that some damning parts were eliminated. Otherwise, as far as I understand, these people that have been testifying really don't have any. They're not really saying there's more to that call. They're just claiming they don't agree with what the president did based on what he actually said.
Yeah, well, I hope they can't jump on that and turn that into something it's not. Well, anyway, God bless and keep up the good work.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. Good question. Thank you. Let's go to Tim in Arkansas. Good morning, Tim.
Hey, good morning, Sandy. I just want to posit a theory. We know that the old Democratic people in the House, we're kind of split away from the new Democrats for quite a while, because they've been calling for impeachment for a long time, and Nancy Pelosi said no, no, no. And then all of a sudden, this sort of trumped up, sorry for the pun, trumped up thing about this call to Ukraine, sort of they jumped on the impeachment bandwagon. But I think that what's really happening is that Nancy Pelosi and the old Democratic group looked at the presidential candidates that are coming up in the Democratic Party for the next election, and they said, there's absolutely no way we're going to be able to beat Donald Trump in this next election, so we've got to do something else to try and get him out, because we're not going to win the election. What do you think about that?
And I think you're right. I think you're really right about that, Tim. I also think that Nancy Pelosi was concerned about her own leadership. She was being threatened by the left, and she might have trouble keeping hold of the speakership. She worked very hard to get it. So I think they were threatening her about that, that if she didn't file for impeachment or she didn't move toward impeachment, they would remove her from her throne. So that's part of the motive here, too. You find a lot of these people, in fact, the Democrats that are serving, they were elected in 2016, and they're serving in Trump districts. They are scrambling because it's self-preservation. They don't want to get out. And so they are trying to decide, you know, whether to vote for this resolution or not, because they're trying to save their own necks. Instead of voting for things they really believe in, everybody's scrambling to do what's right for them, and that includes Mitch McConnell and the members of the Senate I talked about. It's really a power game. It is so detached from the reality of our lives as Americans. It's disgraceful. And so, but I think you're spot on, Tim. Very spot on. Thanks a lot. Let's talk to Holly in Virginia. Good morning, Holly.
Yes, good morning. So my call is about Facebook. I run social media content for about 30 different local businesses. And a couple of weeks ago, I shared Brian Fisher's show, his live feed. And within 2 hours, I was blocked off of Facebook with no explanation. They would not answer me. But the only thing I can say is no matter what he says, Zuckerberg says, they are definitely still blocking and censoring Christian conservative, you know, talk, content. And I think it's just going to get harder, and they're just going to continue to try to disguise it as something else.
Oh, Holly, I think you're absolutely right. The change that they made, that Zuckerberg announced, and that they're getting blowback from the left on, is that they said they would not censor political ads in this season coming up. And I think that's self-serving too. I think that Zuckerberg knows that Elizabeth Warren and others on the left are after him for other reasons, for antitrust reasons. And so I think he doesn't want to necessarily help them this cycle, and he's doing it in the guise of some noble position on the First Amendment. Because you're right. I mean, I have had so many, I mentioned this on the air week before last, that I know that our reach has not grown really since we almost first started the show based on Facebook. I used to get, when I would post something really remarkable, we get 10,000 people viewing. That doesn't happen anymore. It's like we've gone backwards. Yeah, so, I mean, you're absolutely right about it, Holly. They are definitely doing that. You know what would be helpful? If you could just sketch out your story and send it to me in an email, and I'll see if I can't... I can't do something to echo that. Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Hey, Holly. Let me ask you something. You guys have elections coming up next Tuesday. Are you hearing anything about that in Virginia?
We are fighting really hard for Fairfax County in Northern Virginia. You know, I have joked for years that I would love to have Nova annexed from Virginia, because that corridor truly makes the decision for the rest of the Commonwealth. But we are fighting very hard in those areas and just trying to remind people to get out to vote and sharing the AFA Voters Guide.
Yeah. Oh, good. Holly, let me just say, Nova is Northern Virginia, just for those of you who don't live in the Beltway and wouldn't know that. And there are three, as far as I can see, I don't know if there are more than this, but Virginia is probably the most crucial in terms of volume. It is the House of Delegates and the Senate that's up, and they are only held by one or two seats in each chamber. And the left is coming out swinging. And so if you have not engaged, you can do absentee ballot voting by this Saturday. I think Saturday is the last day. But you can't order them. You have to do that in person. And you guys, I'm just encouraging all of you to find out who your local rep is. Be responsible. Find out who your delegate is. Because we've got people like Kathy Tran who want abortion for all 9 months. We have people like, now Ralph Northam's not up for election, but if they have their way, for instance, on the issue of abortion, you will be able to kill a baby after its birth if it's not wanted. It is absolutely out of control, and it will go the way of California. I hope not the forest fires, although trust me, those kinds of fires come out of horrible policies. And so if you are living in Virginia and you're not aware of this, you need to get involved. You can find it. I know you can, because I know there are so many groups out there working in Virginia. Holly, I appreciate your comments, and thanks for calling. Let's go to Vicki in Virginia. Good morning, Vicki.
Good morning, Sandy. I just wanted to make every Virginian realize that you should not give your money to the Virginia Republican Party. They did nothing for Ken Cuccinelli when he was running for governor. And then they redistrict, and we lost Dave Bratt. I live in Goochland County, thank God. But you know that the machine down here is very powerful. So I'm just hoping that the people realize, do not give your money to the party. Give it to the individual candidate.
Yeah, let me just say thank you for giving me an excuse to speak about this a little bit longer, Vicki, because this is the first time that the Republican Party in Virginia has been very strong, and they have been very bad in the last, I don't know how long, decade, maybe I'll say. They are, think of Mitch McConnell, think of, the establishment Republicans, and that's Virginia, the Republican Party. There are some exceptions, and there's some good people in there, as you know. So now there is a coalition of really, really fine people of various organizations, including the American Family Association Action, who are working together really hard outside of the party. And I'd say that probably the Virginia Family Foundation Action is leading the charge on this. If you guys have any questions about how to get involved, go to Virginia Family Foundation, and I would encourage each and every one of you to do your part. It's going to take that, because millions and millions of dollars are pouring in. Alec Baldwin came in. Kamala Harris came in to shill for Kathy Tran, the abortion cheerleader. And so this is the way it's going in Virginia. It's all hands on deck. And you don't even have to be from Virginia to help financially and to even go drive to the state and do door-to-door knocking. There's so many things that can be done. So, Vicki, thank you for bringing that to our attention. Let me go to Steve in Texas. Good morning, Steve. Oh, by the way, our phone number is 888. I'm almost out of time. Oh, this is our last call. Steve, what's on your mind?
Well, Sandy, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm just wondering, is there anything that Attorney General William Barr can do to control Adam Schiff and his skullduggery? Can Barr go after Adam Schiff?
Well, interesting that you should ask that, because Matt Gaetz has filed ethics charges against Schiff for, he's got three different points, but it all centers around his lying and just the dishonesty with which he's conducting everything. And he is actually asking he's asking the ethics panel then to refer criminal referrals to the Justice Department. So there is a link, even though justice is with the executive branch and the legislative branch is very separate. But that's the link in which you might see something like that happen. Although I have to say, Steve, it's not very likely that ethics committee in the House is going to bring charges, but it at least is going to be exposed. And at least I am very grateful myself to see the fight that's being put up by so many members of the House. How would we know anything if they weren't fighting back? Thank God for these guys. Sandy Rios in the morning, AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.